ready for the Word tonight? Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, have you got it? Verse number 4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God." Are you born of God? You know, I think it's interesting he put a "whatsoever is born of God." Amen? Whatever God births has overcoming power. It says, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I think it's interesting he put "whatsoever," because I believe once you get born again, you're not as much a whosoever now as you're whatsoever. Because God makes you a new creation, right? You're not who you used to be. And he says, "Whosoever or whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." What does it mean to overcome the world? Does it mean you're going to be king of the world? You know, you're born again. You're born of God. So now you're going to be king of the world. Well, I believe there's more than one person born again, so we can't all be king of the world. Now, I do believe God wants his people in authority. You follow me? I believe if God had his way, every ruling position on the planet would be filled by a Spirit-filled Christian. Amen. But it's not talking about that you're going to be the only king, because there's too many of us to all be king. What it's talking about is you're going to overcome everything the world can throw at you. Did you follow me? Whosoever is born of God has the potential to overcome everything the world will throw at you. Amen. And this is the victory that obtains, this is what obtains that victory, even our faith. So what is it that the world can throw at you? Well, one, it can throw the curse at you, including sickness, poverty, oppression, amen, every type of demonic assault, marital failure, your children falling into the curse. Those are all aspects of the curse. Because the Bible says there are promises given that you are to be healed. You're to walk in divine health. God's Word declares he's given you power to get wealth to establish his covenant. He wants you prosperous. In fact, 3 John says, verse 2 says, "Beloved, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." To the level you can change the way you think, God says you can prosper and be in health. So God says faith is able to obtain victory over every attack in life. Oh my goodness, I believe it. I believe there's not an attack the enemy can bring your way that God had already given you provision to win in, if you learn the rules or the laws of the kingdom of God. Amen. Again, my background is that of being an engineer. I was just big into physics, and in engineering, you learn the laws of physics, which are really the laws that govern how this natural created realm operates. Physics teaches you the laws of gravity, the law of gravity. It teaches you the laws of electricity, laws of thermodynamics, you know, laws of heat transfer, laws of motion, dynamics, structure. They're all governed by laws. Amen? And through learning and applying those laws, we can send a man to the moon and bring him back safely. Amen. Through applying the laws of physics, we've put this amazing internet system together. You know, it's amazing what technology we have developed, but every bit of our technology was developed through application of understanding of the laws of physics. Do you follow me? And God says, my ways are higher than your ways. And God's ways are his laws. God is not some flighty, flaky God up in the sky that just, you know, whatever he feels like doing, it happens. The realm of the Spirit is a predictable realm. This natural realm is highly predictable. Understand that, right? I mean, we can you know, predict almost anything because we know how the physics of this realm operates. We can predict the temperature tomorrow, the rainfall percentage. We can drop a man off, you know, off a building and know, tell you how hard he's going to hit when he hits and everything else. Amen? Not drop a man, drop a bowling ball. Let's go down. We understand how physics operates. And this created realm that is highly predictable had to come out of another realm equally or more predictable. And the spirit realm is. The kingdom of God, God's way of doing things. Kingdom of God is more than just heaven. The kingdom of God is wherever God's system of operation is established. And when you're born again, you become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and you now have access to the very power of the laws of the Spirit. That's how Jesus did the miracles he did. He was able to access the power of that other dimension, the realm of the Spirit. Amen. And apply himself to the laws of that kingdom. And the laws of the kingdom are different than the laws of this realm. Primary laws of the kingdom are that of faith and seed time and harvest. Everything in the kingdom of God revolves around those two laws, faith and seed time and harvest. And understand, everything you do becomes a seed. But faith is what God says connects you in this realm to the provision I made for you in the third heaven realm. Your faith, you're believing the word of God. You're believing what the kingdom of God has declared allows you to connect to God's blessing and extract it from that third heaven realm into your life today. How many of those know sickness in heaven? There's healing power in heaven. And if you can connect to God's promises of healing, understand the word is spiritual. If you can connect to the word of God with your faith and say, God, I believe your word, by your stripes I'm healed, you can pull healing out of that realm into your life and you can walk in divine health. How many in here, let me ask you a question, how many here have been healed supernaturally by the word of God? Raise your hand. You see that? It's learning how to access that power is what makes us an overcomer. You can stumble on things in the kingdom and receive some blessing, but God wants to learn how to operate in his laws of spiritual physics, his laws of the kingdom, that we can get repeatable results all the time. See, you not only have a promise to be healed in the kingdom, you have a promise that if you get a hold of it, you don't have to ever have to get sick again. Amen. You can be healed of everything, every time, all the time. You can see God meet every need you have supernaturally. I don't believe Jesus was ever sick a day of his life. You know, laying hands on all the other sick people. Jesus, my name, you're healed. No. He accessed by faith the promise of God to walk in divine health. And so faith, learning how to operate by faith, gives us the victory we need over everything the world has to offer. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It says, without faith, we can't please God. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he is what? He's whatever you need. If you need healing, he's your healer. You must believe God is your healer. Amen. You need finances, you must believe God is your provider. You need joy, strength, marital stability, your children delivered from darkness, whatever it is, your family saved. He is the provider, that he's the rewarder of those that seek him, that believe him for his promises. And the reason faith pleases God, in other words, proper application of faith, is he doesn't want to see you sick. He don't want to see you broke down. It is a lie from the pit of hell that God's putting oppression and sickness and disease and hardship on you to teach you a lesson. You follow me? As long as you believe God's bringing you hardship, how are you going to believe him to get delivered of it? And if you believe God put sickness on you, why are you going to the doctor to get healed? Are you trying to defy the will of God? We are called to live above the curse of this world system. And faith lets us do that, and that pleases God. James says, James chapter 1 says, let no man say when he's tempted that he's tempted of God. For God tempteth no man, is not tempted, neither tempted any man with evil. Amen. We're not tempted of God. We're not attacked by God. It's the curse in the system and the enemy that wants to bring us down. God says, learn how to access my power by faith and you can live above. So we've been talking about how to develop our faith, how to utilize our faith. We found that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, right? Faith comes by meditating God's promises. That Bible you have is a promise book. It's full of verses, full of scriptures that declare what God has provided for us. And you can actually go into that book and say, God, I would like this manifested in my life, and build your faith for it. You know, Patty has at home a whole stack of recipe books. I mean, bunches of recipe books. You might have the same thing at your house. I mean, bunch of recipe books. And you can say, you know, I would really like to have, you know, a chocolate cake. And you can open any one of the recipe books and look up chocolate cake, and you can find a recipe for chocolate cake. Amen? I'm more in the mood for cooked cabbage, so when I go home tonight, I may make some cooked cabbage. But there's a recipe for it. Amen? Well, God's Word is a recipe book for blessing. Find out what He said in the book you can have, and then meditate it until you believe it's yours. Because where it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing means faith comes by meditating on what God has said. By pondering it as a promise to you until it becomes real to you, till you know that you possess it. Jesus said it this way, if you will believe and not doubt, you can command a mountain to be thrown in the sea, and if you don't doubt, it must obey you, right? That nothing shall be impossible unto you. Faith enables you to access power above this realm and bring it into your life today to do whatever you need. Amen? As long as it lines up with the Word of God. As long as it lines up with the will of God. And God's will is that you prosper and be in health. God's will is that you live above and you trample snakes and scorpions, right? Over all the power of the enemy. God's will is that we be blessed. So we're learning how to activate faith. So we've talked about what faith does. We're talking about past, you know, we're into this, I don't know how many messages into this series. We've talked about how to build faith. Amen. Last week we talked about speaking faith. The spirit of faith speaks. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. God gave you authority to use your tongue for, and if you understand that authority and you operate in it, you can speak and release words of faith that this created realm must line up to. And again, this sounds harebrained to the natural mind, but if you read the Word and you see what Jesus said, that's exactly what He was teaching. Learn the power of your words. In fact, He says, you'll be judged for every idle word that you speak. Amen. And really what He says is you'll be judged for every idle, powerless rhema that you logos. Every revelation of God that you don't apply and you turn it back into powerless word. You speak words frivolously versus understand there's power in what you say. Again, our words carry power. The centurion came to Jesus, actually sent his servant, and says, you know, my servant lieth at home, sick. Speak the word only and he'll be healed. Because he says, I understand how authority operates. So Jesus said, go! I believe talking to the Spirit. Because where He says, go thy way is italicized. It's not an original text. He says, go. And from that point on, the man recovered. What? Power of words. Power of words. Learning how not to beg God, but to decree and repeat His word. Amen. So we've talked about building faith. We've talked about speaking faith. Tonight I want to talk about acting in faith. Turn to James, right after Hebrews. James chapter 2. We're going to talk about an important aspect of walking by faith. How many know where to live by faith? Just shall live by faith. The people that will manifest the glory will be people of faith. Amen, according to Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse 17, James 2:17 says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Let me explain, starting out, why that's true. If you really believe the Word of God, you will act like the Word of God is true. You will respond in accordance with the Word of God if you believe that it's true. And of course, the example we usually give is, you know, you've learned that Jesus said, you know, He's provided healing for us. The Word of God declares He's our healer. How many believe that? He's our healer. And so you've learned that, you've meditated it, and you've come to believe that Jesus wants you healed. He's provided healing for you. Already at the cross, you've been healed. And one morning you wake up and there's aches and pains in your body, head twirling, feel nauseated. We're not confessing this over you. Amen. But it's happened. And the first thing you hear is you're sick, you're going to die. Call the doctor, call in sick. Amen, you're not going to make it. Hope it doesn't last for a week. You know, you think, and all of a sudden, the ball game you're going to play a week from then, you know, you think of it and they go, hope I'm well by the ball game and all this stuff. And you're about to call in sick, yet you remember, wait a minute, I'm healed. This sickness doesn't belong to me. Wrong address, devil. I'm the healed. And you remember the sermon that Pastor Jack preached, faith without works is dead, being alone. And you recognize a healed man doesn't call in sick. A healed man doesn't lay in the bed and call for chicken soup. A healed man's not expecting it to last for the next 5 days. A healed man is healed now. So you say, sickness, you go from me. By His stripes, I'm healed. And you drag yourself out of that bed because you believe you're healed. Amen. You believe no devil in hell can resist the power of the Word of God that's acted upon. And you step out on the Word of God. Amen. When Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on water, he was actually walking on the Word Jesus spoke when Jesus had come. He stepped out in faith on the Word come. He had a word from God to step out until he looked at the storm, lost his focus on what Jesus spoke, and then he began to sink. We step out on what Jesus has said. And so you go in and you take your shower, you brush your teeth, you're getting ready, may feel worse. But you keep decreeing and declaring, I am healed. And you walk in what God has said until you manifest it. Now listen, I understand you can be so sick you can't make it to work. So much pain you can't make it to work. And please don't take your contagious diseases to around everybody else, you know, if you're contagious. Well, I'm healed, let me give you a hug. No. That's your faith. And don't send your sick kids to school on your faith. Amen. Or bring them to the nursery on your faith. But a person that recognizes the truth of the Word of God will step out on that Word. Because if you just pull the covers over your head and you lay back and say, honey, I'm sick, you are right there declaring you don't believe the Word. I want to take it a step further. It says, faithful that works is dead being alone. I believe true faith places a demand on the Word of God by their actions. Places a demand on it by their Word. In other words, God, I'm stepping out on what You have said in this Bible. I'm stepping out and I know You will not let me fall because I trust in You. You're the provider of what I need. And I'm going to repeat a few testimonies I've got of the past. And then we're going to go into Scriptures and look at some examples out of the Word of God. But let's go to the Word of God first. Praise You, Jesus. Genesis. You can turn to Genesis chapter 12, but really the first evidence or really major incident we have in Scripture, somebody operating in faith without natural evidence, was Noah. My goodness, what a man of faith. God shows up and says, I'm going to make it rain and flood the earth. He goes, what's rain? It had never rained on earth before that time. Amen? What's a flood? I don't think about any flood. Anyway, Noah spends 100 years building an ark in faith on what God said. And the day the ark was finished, God brought the animals. In fact, they just showed up. They've been traveling for some time. The animals showed up. They loaded the ark and the rains began. What happened? God was waiting for Noah to finish the ark before we could bring the rain. Amen? Before God could take the next step in his dealing with mankind to bring us to the point of eternal salvation. Noah was a key component in that. And Noah believed God for 100 years to build this ark. That's acting on faith. Then in Genesis chapter 12, in fact, let me turn there. Verse 1, now the Lord said unto Abraham, Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. That sounds good, doesn't it? And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Wow, what a promise. And God says, leave everybody and everything. You know, amen, not everything, but leave your homeland. And it says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken. And he was 75 years old when he departed from his homeland. Abraham got a word from God. But God said, the word is contingent upon you getting up and moving. And he did that. We know he disobeyed at one level. He took Lot with him. It took a second image. God spoke to him, and he stepped out in faith and did it. That's like when God told me to quit my job. Oh, yes, Lord, I can't wait. Oh, blessings coming my way. Oh, yes, calling. Oh, yes, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 20 years later, Abraham wandered for 25 years, city to city, twice to Egypt. Amen? Wandering all around trying to find this city whose builder and maker was God. To see God's promise fulfilled. Until at 100 years old he saw the supernatural son birthed. Who later God said, now sacrifice. Acting in faith in what God said. This is Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. Had God not stopped him believing in God's promise that God would have to raise him from the dead. Acting in agreement. Acting in correlation with what God has spoken. Faith acts. And your action places a demand on the Word of God. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Moses has led the children of Israel. What, about 2 million strong, it's believed. And they're at the banks of the Red Sea. They've got the Red Sea on one side of them. And on the other side, we have the Pharaoh's armies, and it looks like they're finished, right? Now the people are starting to murmur against Moses. Why did you bring us out here to die? Oh my goodness, the stuff God has to put up with sometimes from his people. Brought them out through 10 supernatural plagues, and now once again they're crying out, you know, we're not going to make it. Looking at the natural, right? Verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. In other words, Moses had a word from God that God's going to deal with the Egyptians. That word had dropped inside of him. Amen. And the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. In other words, shut up, keep your mouth shut before you get in God's way. As a pastor, you wish sometimes you could say that. You know, you're talking with somebody in the church and they're going, nothing ever goes right for me. No matter what I do, it seems to fail. God never helps me. Shut up. Hold your peace. You want to do that. Amen. I'm sure in the future Moses learned some tact. Hold your peace. Don't let your words curse your blessing. Amen. So Moses says, stand still and watch God fight on your behalf. But look at verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Why are you crying unto me in this situation? I can't do anything till you do something. I need an action of faith in this situation. He says, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Where? God says, I need them to go forward. I need you guys operating in faith. Tell them to head into the sea. Don't you know that was like, you know, Moses has lost it now. Tell them to go forward. God needs somebody to believe he's going to do something and then act on it. He had already said he was going to take them to the promised land, a land that flows with milk and honey. And now he's going to kill them at the Red Sea. He just wants somebody to believe him in what he's doing and not look at the circumstances. That they go forward, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry land, dry ground, through the midst of the sea. And then God says, and I'll harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they follow you and they're destroyed. God says, I need the people to go forward. And Moses, lift up your staff, your rod, hold it over the sea. Move out in faith like I've given you authority so I have something to work with. I need a faith connection. Are you following me on this? He was trying to teach Israel and teach Moses faith this entire journey. Every time they had a hardship, they would cry out and whine and murmur and complain. Verse say, Father, you brought us this far. We believe you for bread and meat right now. We believe you from water. Even if you have to bring it from a rock, we believe you for water. But instead, they cried and murmured. God was trying to show them, I need you to believe me. I need you to step out in faith. I need you to continue this journey. Because if you can't get through the wilderness by faith, how are you going to go in and possess the promised land where the giants are? How are we going to possess the land? How are we going to access all God's promise if we can't get through the little battles of faith now? How's God going to raise up a city of glory if we can't believe Him for simple provision right now? God gave me a word here about a month ago. We were in all-night prayer. He gave me a word. He says, I've given you everything you need to take this city. He says, I've given you the city and all the resources at your disposal if you'll just believe me for it. I believe I receive our next building. I believe I receive all the provision we need for this one now and in the future. Amen. We believe we receive. God says it belongs to us. So Moses is being told, stretch out your staff. I'm telling you what, God, to get us over in the realm of living by faith, has to stretch us. He will stretch you. Not tempt you, stretch you. The enemy brings the attack. He brings the confrontation, but God says, now stretch into it and believe me for it. And watch the salvation of the Lord. So Moses follows. As the people go forward, he stretches out his rod, and the sea parts, and the purpose of God is fulfilled. Somebody had to step into the place of operating by faith. I'll interweave testimonies in this as we go, and most of you have heard these, but it still energizes you to hear them, hopefully. It does me anyway. It reminds me of stuff I've gone through. When I first got saved, I had never really battled these much in my life, but after I got saved, I started getting hit with migraines. Well, it put me down. I mean, blistering migraine headaches. I would have to leave work, go home, go to bed, put a pillow over my head, a heating pad. If I could get a hold of it, some codeine, tell the family to leave, and the codeine didn't touch it. And as hope I passed out with the migraine, it would be there all day. Nothing I could do. And this went on for several years. In the meantime, I started hearing about healing. Pastor Callahan was preaching to us about healing. We started Grace Fellowship. We were at a party one night, and here came a migraine. They would always come at major opportunities. It's like the devil planned, I got to take him out of this. So we're at a party with Pastor Callahan's there and, you know, all the church. And here comes a migraine. And I said, devil, I've had it. I've had it. I'm not putting up with this anymore. I know that I know the Word of God declares I'm healed. I'm placing a demand on the Word of God. See, faith demands the Word manifest. It stretches into it. So you guys know the story, but I went to my van. I got in the passenger seat It had a steel dash with just a piece of vinyl over it, no padding. And here's his head. My head feels like it wants to split open. I mean, you move and it's just like boom, 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 boom. And I said, watch this, devil. I'm not afraid of the pain anymore. I don't put up with, I don't receive this. And I went, wham, and slammed my head on the dash. And it hurt worse. I said, no, that isn't it. I'm healed. By his stripes. Every time I'd sit up, I'd say, by his stripes, I'm healed. Amen. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Watch this, devil. I'm not afraid anymore. You can't stay here. Wham! Hit my head again. And I did this probably for 20 or 30 minutes. And I basically said, God, I'm not coming out of this van unless I'm healed. I will stay here all night smacking my head. Something's got to give, because I know this is an attack. And the devil can't stay. I'm the overcomer in this situation. Hit my head. And after 20 or 30 minutes, I slammed my head again. I woke up totally healed, totally delivered. And I've really never had migraine since. Had to cast one or two down, but I've never had another put you down migraine. And I don't think I've even fought one for years. Have an inkling of one. What happened? Acting on what God has said in a radical, stretching fashion to place a demand on the manifestation of the Word of God. Did you follow me on that? God will stretch you to believe His Word, because He's looking for a people in His end times that will believe the Word above all other evidence and act on it to see Him move. Because the people that believe the Word of God but don't move don't really believe. Amen? You must believe what God has said. Exodus chapter 17. And here they're in the wilderness. They've run out of water. The people are grumbling. They want to kill Moses, I'm sure, by this time. Verse 4 says, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people. In other words, go in front. Take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. God tells Moses, go to Horeb, and there's a rock there. They're in the wilderness. There's rocks everywhere. Amen. This may have been a particular well-known rock. I don't know. But you know, can you think Moses saying, I'm going to find a rock? Right. Right. See, we have this image of Moses being all super spiritual. The Bible says he was the humblest man on earth. But like he was super spiritual, he's all the time saying, God, what do we do? I believe where it says he cried unto the Lord, he was crying unto the Lord. Amen. He was a man like you and I that God had just selected and anointed for this purpose, who was willing to believe God. And God says, go to Horeb, find this rock, take the rod that you used to separate the Red Sea and strike this rock, and water's going to flow from the rock. Right. Amen. But what did he do? He went to Horeb, found a rock, hit it, and a river flowed from the rock. It wasn't a trickle. It wasn't squeezing out a little bit of water. Enough water to feed 2 million people and all their livestock. A river came forth out of this rock. Can you imagine watching that? You've seen it in movies, right? Ten Commandments. Wow. Somehow with that rock, God had made a quantum connection between the kingdom of God and the natural realm and that rock was the dividing point. And out of that rock flowed a river that watered the entire nation. Now, I would think at that point on, you never doubt God again. I would just think you never doubt God again. I mean, I would think that. But over a 40-year period, they doubted God a whole bunch of times. Amen? And in fact, didn't even go into the promised land even a few weeks later when they had the opportunity. God's looking for people to act on what He said. Had Moses not moved, I believe Israel would have perished in the wilderness at that place. Or ran back to Egypt, back into captivity. God would have had to raise up somebody else to be the Savior. He's looking for people that will believe Him and act on His Word. Joshua chapter 6. See, if you'll look for it, the sense of humor is all through the Word of God. Remember Gideon? Gideon, we sing the song. God said, take 300 men, let 24,000 go. He's got 30,000 men against a multitude. I mean, against tens of thousands, potentially hundreds of thousands of troops of the Amorite army. Amen? And God says, you got too many men. Right. So God starts calling the army, right? First is to tell all those that have any fear on them, have any fear on them just to go on home back to their families. Any that have fear on them, you're about to face the most powerful army around with a paltry 30,000 men. And Gideon says, if you got fear, go home. I think there have been a whole lot of men at front line. I think most of them just didn't raise their hand because they didn't want to be embarrassed. Amen? No fear on me. This image of Barney Fife. I'm not afraid. And God says, send them home. Then He says, you still got too many. Take them down to the water and into the river. Those that, you know, drink in a certain fashion, send them home. He ends up with 300 people. He says, now you're ready to go defeat the army. Right. Amen. But he needed something, but he would believe him and act on it. And then Gideon's battle plan. We won't turn there for the sake of time. But the battle plan was to take lamps in a clay pot. And when Gideon sounded the trumpet, you break your pot and you hold up your lamp and shout, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And that's your battle plan? Can you imagine the troops? Did you hear his battle plan? Did you hear that one? We're taking candles. I'm sure the discussion was, I wish I'd have went back at the water hole. This is the same God we serve today. Amen. This is the same God we serve today. And He says, I need people that will believe me with many or with few. Don't look at your number. Look at what I've declared. Believe my word. Now what happens? They go shout, break the pot, shine the lights, and enemies start turning on each other and destroying each other. And can you imagine the troops then? Holding their candle. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know, little light. Little light was for Gideon. Holding her candle, go next soldier next to him, you know, the 300. They tried to space out pretty good. Only 300 of them. I knew it was going to work. I knew it was going to work. I knew exactly what I envisioned was going to take place. Yeah, I was going to break that pot, hold up my candle, shout, and they were just going to start killing each other. I knew that's what God had in mind. And it didn't happen like that. Amen. Well, they might have said that. God just needed somebody to believe Him for supernatural power. And I want you to imagine what was going on here. They're going up against a host of merciless enemies. And their life is on the line here. And they're willing to believe not the Word of God. They didn't have this in the Scripture. You follow me? Most of the Scripture wasn't even written yet. What they had was a word God gave Gideon. They were believing Gideon heard God. And they were so willing to believe God, they put their life on line and says, I will do what Gideon says, trusting God. And if it doesn't work, I'm dead. What happened? Their actions place a demand on God's word that he'd given to Gideon. I believe at that point it was impossible for Israel to lose, because they'd already, through their actions, connected to the God of all victory, the Lord of hosts. Amen? So we see Gideon. In Joshua in chapter 6, God's told Joshua to take the city. Understand now they're coming against Jericho, right? Coming against Jericho, the most fortified city in all the land. Potentially in the world at this time. Stories are is that the walls of Jericho were so thick they would have chariot races on top of the walls. These were major walls they're going up against. Against, again, a merciless, fierce enemy trained in battle. And here's Israel trained in the wilderness. Amen. And God tells Joshua, in fact, let's turn there. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. In other words, they shut all the gates, they've shut the doors. They're ready for battle. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I've given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Now see, here's a sense of humor again of God. Here's Jericho shut up, men on the wall, armed, ready for battle. Here Israel shows up and God says, see, I've given you the city. Right. Okay. What's next? See, I want you to understand what they were facing when they came into these situations. They were looking at an enemy that looked totally unstoppable. Totally impossible to win this battle. And they looked at those walls and God says, look at this, I've given you the victory. And God says, now what I want you to do is march around the city every day for 6 days. On the seventh day, march around it seven times, priests going before you, and then blow the trumpets. And God says, I'll do the rest. And what happened? They marched through 6 days of mocking. Can you imagine the mocking from the walls? Oh, yeah, that's scaring us now. Oh, you're marching again today? Oh, we're trembling. Israel's told not to even answer a word. Don't say a word. Just march around the city. Don't say a word. I bet it was tough not grumbling in that situation. They're answering back. God's going to get you. And after 7 days, we know the story. They blow the trumpets, they shout, and the walls fall flat. And Israel took the entire city. It's believed without losing a single person. Amen? Supernatural victory by acting on what God has said. Faith acts on the Word of God. 1 Kings chapter 18. And now we have a confrontation between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Amen. Understand they're in the middle of a major drought. And Elijah calls the prophets of Baal into a competition. He says, we're going to see who can call down fire from heaven. So they take a stack of wood, right? They pile up wood. It says in verse 33, and he put wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, talking about Elijah, and laid him on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water, and poured on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it the second time. He said, do it the third time. They did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar and filled the trench also with water. Right now at this time, in the middle of a drought, not in the middle of it, near the end of it. 3-year drought. Water being probably the most precious commodity around. Elijah has them pour all they got on these trenches, on this wood in these trenches. You're going to have us pour out water that we desperately need for life on this wood and on the ground for no purpose? See, God's having them step out in faith and invest what's precious to them to see this miracle take place and to get the victory they need. What happens? They pour the water out, fills the trenches, soaks the wood. Elijah calls down, after the prophets of Baal have failed, Elijah calls down fire and it consumes the wood, licks the trenches dry, and Elijah goes about to kill 850 prophets of Baal and Jezebel. Amen. Cleaning up the land of idolatrous practice. And then the drought is allowed to cease shortly thereafter. Amen. What happened? God needed Elijah and those that believed in him hearing God to step out in faith in agreement with the Word of God that they'd received. Faith acts on what God has said. It refuses to pull back. Faith places a demand on the Word of God. Again, that time my back was blown out. It's been about 6-7 years ago. Blew my back out. Couldn't hardly breathe. Sitting on the couch. And I knew the Word of God had declared I was healed. So I played for 3 days. Played healing tapes. Right next to me there. Listening to healing tapes. Building my faith. But every half an hour I'd jump up and stomp around the room and say, I'm healed in Jesus' name. Healed. Pain spearing through my body, unimaginable pain. It hurt so bad. I mean, blown discs. Set back down, collapse. For 3 days, the devil's saying, you're going to be paralyzed. You do it again, you're going to be paralyzed. You know, you're going to sever your spine, all this other stuff. They're going to fuse your back. Better call the ambulance now. And no, I'm healed. Placing the man on the word. After 3 days, jump up and said, I'm healed. Jumped up one time. Healed when I hit. Had a brand new back. No pain, no problem, no problem since. Have not had a problem in my spine since that day. What happened? Place a demand on the Word of God. Faith without works is dead, being alone. What, you know, this morning we got on obeying God. Talked about obeying what God said to do. Now step out on what He said. Let Him stretch you. Learn to stretch into faith. Because if you never stretch, you'll never grow. You know, we teach on trees in here quite a lot. Because we are trees of righteousness, right? Rooted and grounded in love. But a tree, when it goes through a drought, has to learn how to extend its roots, stretch its roots for more moisture. Amen. And you, when you hit a place where things are dry, things aren't working, stretch into the Word of God. Stretch into what God has said. Trust, just trust Him. Trust Him and act on it. Well, what if God doesn't come through? It would be better to obey God and fail than to disobey God and perish in the wilderness. Don't want to miss out on what God has said, but you won't fail. You won't fail. There's not a person in here that can say, yes, God dropped me. He didn't drop you. He never drops anybody. We win. 2 Kings. Well, I'll tell you what, hang on. 1 Kings chapter 17. Verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto Elijah saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there, and behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." He tells him to get up from the place he's at, because now the creek's dried up, right? And go to Zarephath. A widow woman has already been told to take care of you. She's got a word. He says, "I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain you." Somehow, this is not even a Jew. God has got a word to this Gentile woman to take care of Elijah. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." Now they're in the middle of a drought. He says, "Bring me some water that I can drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." Now what's he doing? He's testing whether or not she's going to follow God. He is, because he already knows God spoke to her to take care of him. You follow me? Or maybe just making sure this is the woman. Could have been God spoke to 20 women. He would just find out if this is one that was going to obey. "Fetch me a morsel to eat as well." Elijah is going to stretch her right here. And she said, "As the Lord thy God, she didn't say my God, thy God, liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die." She's already in expectation of death. Even with the word of God, she's expecting to die. "And Elijah said unto her, fear not." He had to get a hold of her fear. "Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." Can you see the headlines in the paper? Prophet of God takes widow's last meal. Amen. Comes in and scams. Prosperity preacher come and scams widow woman and son out of all they owned. Funeral services, such and such time. Amen. Can you imagine it? That's what Elijah was having to cast down when he said it. He said, "Make me a little first," because he already knows God said she'll sustain you. So Elijah knows if she'd been told to sustain him, God's going to have to do a miracle to increase what she has. See, Jesus was not the first one to multiply food. Jesus had a testimony back here to fall back on when he fed the 5,000. Because he knew if Elijah did it, it was available to him. "Make me a cake first." Now here's the widow woman. She's had a word from God. "You're going to take care of Elijah." She's looking at what she has. She thinks there's no way I'm going to die. So she's faced with a choice. I can eat it myself and die, or I can listen to the word the prophet of God has given, where he said, "Bring me a cake. Might as well, I'm going to die anyway. Why not take it to him first and see if God would move according to the word he gave me?" So she stretches into that prophetic word. We know the rest of the story. The oil and the meal never dried up, as long as the drought lasted. Amen. She was sustained the entire time supernaturally. Oh, man, can't you imagine that woman? Every time she goes to get something to eat, first time, let's see if make a little cake, a little cake, see if it multiplies. By 2 or 3 days, she's saying, "How much do you want to eat? Here's your loaf for today." Amen. Getting a hold of this supernatural, provision. But she had to stretch into it. Listen, if you endeavor to live by faith, you will be called to stretch into it. God will call you to stretch into stuff. Amen? I remember the first time I was fighting for my life against physical attack. And again, these are stories many of you have heard before, but I was in a Bobby Jean meeting in Lexington at our church. And that day I got hit with an attack that felt like every organ in my body was shutting down. By the time the meeting started, I couldn't even go to the meeting. I was in Pastor Jim's office, feeling like I was going to die on his couch. Everything's spinning. I mean, literally, one girl said, the only person I've ever seen that color you had, they were in diabetic shock. And I don't know what it was, but the devil said, I'm going to kill you now. You better call the ambulance. So I'm going to ring an ambulance to this church and move a Bobby Jean meeting. I'd rather die right now than do that. Amen. Woo! Hauling me out. Here we go. Amen. Pastor Callan going, oh, no. So I'm just confessing the word. No, I'm not going to the hospital. I'm healed. Devil said, I'm killing you. And I felt like I was going to die. I said, I will stand on the word right now. I would rather die than not believe God at this point in time. Had a conversation. I mean, it was on the line. Because I literally knew without a move of God I was going to die. I mean, it was that serious. I don't know what the attack was. And they actually, some of the guys in the office saw me and went and got Pastor Callan out of service. Bobby Jean preaching, got him out. Come back and pray for me. He says, I see that thing. I see that strangling spirit. He broke it, you know. And left, and I still felt bad. But just determined, I'm not going to give this. And so I got up off the couch, started walking, praying in tongues. And it broke. Went back into service, the rest of the service, totally healed by the power of God. Went from feeling like I was going to die to healed in service. And I knew that if you want to move ahead in faith, there's got to be times you confront. You confront natural circumstances. Unless you feel like you're going to die, if your faith isn't there, don't sit at home and die. Call ambulance. I meditated so much word on healing, I knew that the word said it was mine. You follow me? I knew it was mine. And no devil in hell was going to take from me what God had given to me through the cross. I mean, let me ask you a question. If somebody came to you and said, you know, they had a gun in their hand, put the gun to your head and says, either you deny Jesus Christ or I'm going to shoot you. How many would deny Jesus? Of course, I believe you'd still be saved if you did. You follow me? I believe you'd still be saved. You were forced to do it under threat of life and just have your fingers crossed or something. You know, just say, okay, you know, I confess whatever, cross your fingers and now, geez, I didn't mean that. And you know, I didn't mean that. He just hold the gun in my head. I think you'd be fine. I probably wouldn't do it, though. I don't think I would. I'd say, no, you'd have to shoot me. Do you follow me? Why? Because you know of a promise of salvation. You know you go straight to heaven. Anybody believe you go straight to heaven? You refuse to deny Jesus Christ? Let me take that. I want to back up a second and take that a step further. See, if somebody tortures you to say you don't believe in Jesus, that went in your heart. That was tortured out of you. You follow me? Where it says, if you deny me, it wasn't talking about on the rack, being beaten. If you ever deny me, no matter what the conditions are, if you deny me, you can't make it to heaven. I don't believe it's talking about that. I believe it's talking about your everyday walk where you decide you don't want it anymore. I deny you. I don't receive this anymore. Or under, you know, maybe a little bit of public pressure. Are you a Christian? No. If all it took was deny Jesus to be left out of heaven, Peter would have never made it. He cursed and denied him, amen? Swore he didn't know him. The point being is, you so understand your promise of healing, you put your life on the line. But it's the same cross that purchased for you healing. It's the same cross that purchased for you prosperity. Are you willing to put everything on the line in that realm as well? Don't get quiet. Are you willing to stand on what God said regarding your physical healing, regarding your checkbook? Are you willing to sow when God says sow or stand when He says stand? You will only step into the level of faith you will stretch into. And you've got to be willing to say, God, I let you stretch me. We're out of time, but let me mention a few more real quick just to finish this out. No, we don't have time. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you seal it in our hearts, minds, and understanding. He causes to rise up and fulfill your highest of high calling. We praise you in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen.